Hi, y'all. I'm Julie.
Hi there. I'm Brenda. Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Now, y'all need to know that we're obsessed with everything on the other side.
Yes, we are. Because once you learn to navigate the energetic, or to some, the invisible world, life is going to be more fun and much more serene.
Heck yes, it can. Because let's be honest. Bryn, Earth School is hard. In fact, you taught me that.
Let's crush Earth School together.
Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, my witchy poo. How are you?
Hello,
you know, I'm going to write a song. It's going to be like, it's going to start with that. Like, it's kind of like the Scooby-Doo song. Hello, witchy poo. How are you?
Thank you for that song. I loved it.
Yeah, you're definitely going to have a Scooby-Doo witchy poo song here by the end of by the end of it all, whatever that means. So today, I wanted to extend our NDE conversation, our near-death
People
experience.
People loved that episode, right?
They do. It's because it's so unbelievable, but believable. And there's
It's so comforting.
Right?
I find it comforting and inspiring. And
yeah, it is. That's how I feel about it. I love being learning about this, being exposed to the stories. And I'll tell you the part I love the most, and I'm very lucky in life this way, is that I actually know some of these storytellers, some of the people who've experienced this. And I had...
You swank authors hanging out together.
Right. Swank. I'm so swank, I'm wearing cut-off jean shorts that I've been wearing for the last month and not washed.
I have a clean... Cancel Claire.
And I have a clean t-shirt on, though. No, hey.
Well, there you go. One out of two.
Anderson Cooper doesn't wash his jeans, so you do not need to throw judgment at me about my dirty denim. Not swanky, I think, is the whole point of this. But I'll tell you is...
I know there was a point.
There's always a point. But I had the great fortune of being introduced and becoming friends with Anita Morjani. And Anita Morjani is the author of the book Dying to Be Me. And she's certainly not just the author. She's actually the one who experienced it. But before I go into that, I just want to quickly tell you about how I met Anita. I met Anita because she was...
Because we have to hear the origin story.
Oh, you have to, right? You have to. It's fun. And you're somewhat involved in the origin story, so...
I am. There,
yeah. Yeah, just wait for it. So Anita was changing publishers, and she was talking to Simon & Schuster, and she was talking to my publisher named Xena Musica, who I love. And in fact, I remember when I was driving to meet Xena for the first time, she was the only publisher of all publishers in the world that lived in Ojai, California. And she had reached out and said, "Do you want to meet?" And I'm like, "Sure." And so I'm driving to Ojai from Los Angeles, and I call Brenda. And I'm like, "So Brenda, I'm meeting, you know, with the publisher of this imprint of Simon & Schuster. I don't really know what to expect. And I'm meeting her at like the super swank, like Ojai spa, by the way." I mean, everything in Ojai is awesome. And I'm like, "I don't know what to expect. What am I supposed to do?" You know, because I was the fool card, right? I have been the fool card so many times in my life. It's not even funny. Like, I'm a perpetual fool.
So the fool is the first card in tarot. It's the beginning. It's the unknown. It's so exciting. Slightly nerve-wracking.
Right.
Everything's possible.
And it's the time I always call Brenda. And when I have the fool card, when I'm literally pasting it, stapling it on my forehead, I can see it stapled on my forehead right now, is when I had that card. So I'm going to go meet with Xena, and I'm like, I'm a nervous wreck, and of course, you know, and very insecure. Not a common thing for me, but this is truly where the, you know, education for me kind of lacked. And I don't know big words. I don't even say words right all the time. I ask Suzanne all the time, "What does a word mean?" To be an author was, you know, not exactly, I thought, in my cards, literally in my cards. So I'm driving, I'm talking to you, Brenda, and you were trying to tell me that they were going to offer me a publishing deal. But you said it in such like a beat around the bush way, I had no idea what the hell you were talking about. Or I wasn't paying attention, I'm not quite sure. It could be one or the other, or both.
I don't recall.
And,
I don't know.
And then, but because you were like doing your typical tap in whatever, and I'm a nervous wreck. And I remember calling you afterwards saying, "Oh my God, Brenda, they want to publish my book. And you're like, well, I know, I told you that. I'm like, no, you didn't.
You couldn't hear me.
I couldn't hear you. I was too nervous.
You actually are not someone who gets nervous. You get excited.
Okay.
Like, you get excited. But you were nervous.
I think so, yeah.
But that's how you know you care about something.
Yeah.
You really care about it. Like, because it's like, what if they tell me my baby's ugly?
Yeah. You know, well, like, it was such a foreign thing for me to be an author. Foreign. I mean, so foreign where I hardly read books before, much less written in them. So, I mean, it was so incredibly foreign. So anyway, Zena, who I love, and Zena is, she's the one who actually founded a tea company early on. She is on to new adventures now, but she is an angel in a human body. She just really is. She's an extraordinary woman. So one night, Zena called me and she said, Julie, she said, do you know who Anita Morjani is? I said, do I know who Anita Morjani is? Hell yes, I do. And she's like, well, would you mind helping me out on a couple of things? Because I'm, you know, want to get her to sign on with Simon & Schuster, blah, 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 blah. So I went and had dinner with Zena and Anita at Cafe Gratitude, which is a vegan restaurant in Los Angeles. And so that's when I first met Anita Morjani. And since, from that moment on, we became friends. Suzanne and I would go hang out with she and Danny at their house in Laguna, and we would talk regularly. We still talk. I mean, she's just an extraordinary human. So I want to talk about Anita's story on this show, and you're probably wondering, well, why isn't Anita on the show? And if you're wondering that, it's a very good question, because Anita's very busy. I mean,
she's
a really busy girl. And I had reached out. I'm like, hey, would you want to be on the show? She's like, I'd love to someday, but right now I have blah, blah, blah going on. So we're going to do a show in her honor today, and with the hopes that we can actually get her on the program sooner than later. But anyway.
And what a beautiful story she has.
Oh, it's an incredible story.
Just extraordinary.
An extraordinary human being. I mean,
without a doubt.
Cannot.
Bright light, so much joy.
Yeah. And by the way, a mean ass Indian cook. Like, she would cook for Suzanne and I when we would come over, and in heaven, it's like every bite, just like, it was like a party in your mouth. It was so good.
Talk about multi-talented.
Right. So there's actually, Anita has a YouTube show, and she had me on that show a few years ago. So if you guys want to look back at her show, she had me on there, and you can watch us, and we had a really fun time.
I remember that show. It was really fun.
It was really fun.
Lots of giggles.
It was
shocking. I'm sure you guys will be shocked by this.
I'm funny. Don't be shocked.
Before you jump in, we're going to take this.
All right, we'll do that.
I'm Shonda Rhimes. If you've watched Grey's Anatomy or any of my TV shows, then you know I love to tell a good story. Well, now there's Shondaland Audio. We've partnered with iHeartRadio to launch a slate of great podcasts. You can listen to the first four right now. Katie's Crib, Criminalia, Go Ask Allie, and You Down. And we have so much more coming your way. We can't wait for you to hear it all. Welcome to Shondaland Audio. Listen to all the new Shondaland Audio shows on Apple Podcasts.
Hey friends, I'm Bobby Bones. This is Vets You Should Know, a brand new podcast from iHeartRadio. Throughout this four-part series, I'm going to introduce you to four military veterans with inspiring stories who continue to use their experiences and the lessons they learned in service through their journey as civilians.
It was those members of the military who really helped me regain my voice so that I could be a voice for others.
And as soon as the barrage ended, a Marine that was on our base training Afghan National Army soldiers had yelled to me that I'd been hit.
I was taught, this is normal, expect it from now on. I said, you know what, somebody has to do better. So I decided, if nobody's going to do it, then I guess I have to.
And then you land in country. There's nothing that anyone can do that can prepare you for it.
You won't want to miss hearing from these heroic men and women who have fought overseas and continue to serve their families and communities in new ways. Listen to Vets You Should Know on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. So I knew we had to take a break before my elf gets on a roll because this is one of her favorite stories.
It is. I do. I love Anita so much in her story. And so her book is called Dying to Be Me. And we're going to talk a little bit about in a few minutes about why she actually titled the book that.
I bet many of our listeners have read this.
I hope they have. If you haven't,
check it out because it's so inspiring.
Definitely check it out. So Anita grew up in Hong Kong. And her family is of Indian descent, and she attended a British boarding school. So you can see all the conflicts, right? Just that first sentence, you're like, oh, okay, I see where we're headed here. So, you know, as she got a bit older, she met a man that she fell in love with and married, and that's Danny. In February of 2002, Anita was diagnosed with lymphoma. After finding a lump on her neck. And she had actually dealt with losing some family members to cancer up to that point. And as she tells it around her dinner table, that's Sookie, by the way. So I'm sorry, everybody. She knows Anita. She's been to Anita's house. So she's like, oh, you're talking about my friend, Mom. I have to say something. Where the hell was I? Because Sookie.
In February, she was diagnosed.
Yeah, but I was saying something about,
she had lost other.
Yes, because the way that she talks about it, I think she talks in her book, but she talks about also at her dinner table, is that after the first time she lost someone to cancer, she was so overtaken with the fear, like for herself, like she was so scared of it. That it was literally all she could think about. Like she was focused. So, you know, guys, when we talk a lot about, you know, we had our episode on woman festing, that thought, you know, we create through thought. And so, and as Anita would tell you, it's what you focus on. So she focused on it. So fast forward 6 years later, she went back into the hospital where she actually, you know, she laid in a coma for 30 hours and also hear her talk about like what her physical condition was. And you can even, and Danny too, like even to this day, Danny talking about, you can see the pain in his face because he was there, right? She had lesions all over her body, all over her, like open wounds all over her body, right? So she's in this coma. She awoke from the coma and then, you know, she started telling the stories about what she experienced when she was in the coma or on the other side. I mean, listen, it depends who you talk to because we're going to get into because she's a very triggering figure for the medical community. When she awoke, she was telling these stories about how she was greeted by her father who had jumped. And it was her father who came to her to deliver her the message that she had a choice to come back. And what's really interesting, too, is when you talk to Anita, is like the question that she gets and she feels so badly about is people will say, well, I lost somebody. Why didn't they come back? Why did you get to come back? It's a really interesting thing that she has to deal with because there's jealousy, there's envy, there's why you and not somebody in my life.
Humans are so funny. Come on, people.
Aren't they? Well, you know what? I was talking about Anita years ago and somebody's like, well, yeah, I lost somebody. Why did they get it? Why did she get to come back? I said, who says your person didn't have the choice? Maybe they said no. And that's what I said to Anita. I go, next time somebody asks you that, tell them, well, who says they didn't?
And when we've talked about NDEs before, we've discussed how it's usually not an option. It's usually you get told you can stay or you can go. Like usually you get told you're going back. No, I'd rather stay. No, you've got other things to do. This is your assignment. This is what you agreed to do at some point. So we're sending you back. The decision's clear. It's not a personal choice.
Well, she had one, though.
Yeah.
Like how unusual.
But that's why I'm saying it's unusual.
Very unusual. And this is how, like, Danny's story is quite unusual,
too. She's extraordinary,
too.
Right?
And so she had this choice by her. And again, her messenger for this was her father giving her this option. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, wait a minute. I don't want to go back to that broken body. I mean, could you imagine? It's like, I don't want to go back to that. There's lesions everywhere. I have stage 4 cancer.
I'm free.
So this is bullshit. I want to go, like, right? I don't want to.
Although, school sucks.
Yeah, Anita doesn't cuss. So, I mean, not in public. But so it's like, no, why would you want to go back to that? And her father's like, what if I tell you that, you know, you can be healed in the matter of weeks? And she's like, so they literally, the other side had to negotiate with her to go back.
Can you sign on the dotted line that's how that's going to
exactly,
go?
Exactly, exactly. Because if this isn't, bullshit on all y'all.
Yeah.
Fuck you fuckers is what I would have said. So it's the fuck you fuckers clause. She obviously agrees. She comes back And
thank goodness she did, because we have this amazing story.
Right?
And this amazing being.
Right?
Yeah.
What's fascinating, this is where it gets really interesting, is within 4 days, her tumor shrank by 70%. Within 5 weeks, her cancer was completely gone out of her body. Now, she had to do a lot of work.
Bam
right?
Yeah.
Mic drop.
Yeah.
She had to do a lot of physical therapy because she was so weak from that, but the cancer was gone. Now, here's what gets interesting. I don't think there has been any case in the world that has been written about more than Anita's case when it comes to this, because, you know, she was considered a medical miracle. She was also called a fraud. There are doctors that are like, well, you know, it's because I think one doctor is like, well, you know, we were able to drain the liver and that's why she lived. I'm like, really? The woman's in a coma and she's got Legion Leroy with stage 4 cancer, and somehow you think that draining a liver is what exactly is going to bring this woman back to life. You are so wrong. And so, yeah, so they, you know, they called her quack. I'm like, wait, you're not a doctor, but okay. They called her a quack. So she went through a tremendous amount of criticism, and she still chose to tell her story, because one of the most magnificent things I think she talks about, which I love so much when she talks about before she had this, she felt like she was, in a warehouse with the lights out, and she would kind of bump into things, you know? And then once the lights were turned on, she saw everything. And so for her NDE was turning the lights on, because what she ended up really discovering about herself, and that's why she's saying dying to be me, is that she had to actually cross over to realize she needed to be true to herself. She needed to live as what she wanted and where her heart took her.
And give herself permission to want what she wants, right? I mean, even that conflict you set up in the first, you know, grew up in Hong Kong, Indian descent,
British school. Right?
No pressures there, no conflicting things. But this is the thing. We know that when people have a very strong in their paradigms and there's fear present, they can't imagine when you present something that's conflicting with what their beliefs are, that that's real. So they have to make you wrong.
Right.
Because they're so fearful, I can't possibly be wrong. So you have to be wrong.
Right.
So when they come at her, it's their own fear for who they are and their choices they've made. And even though it feels really intense, you know, really, it can be just, I understand that it feels like I'm attacking your system, but I'm not. I'm just living my life. And I'm sorry that that, you know, is upsetting to you.
Right.
Even though she's standing in front of them, cancer-free, getting stronger.
Right, isn't that something? It's like, you got to be kidding me. So they can't buy it for a second. But so,
but this is why, also why it's so important, you know, when we have these conversations, we always invite you to live at the highest frequency you can. That it doesn't mean that you don't get mad or you don't get disappointed or you don't get, you know, angry with people, but you don't stay there. Like, you remember, like, you know what? It's all going to work out in the long run. You know what? Everyone's got their own path that just isn't mine anymore, or at least for the next 10 minutes so that I can calm my butt down. Like, I gotta, you know, I just gotta take a breath and slow my roll. Because once you can reconnect with your spirit guides, with your loved ones, with your angelic beings who are guiding you and supporting you and knowing that that's real, then you can imagine without having to jump the planet and jump back that this is, if it's true for her, it's true for you. And you have all this available to you. It's super important to live in that possibility and allow yourself. Like, we hear from our listeners all the time, like, since listening to the show, I see more of my clues out in the world, my little messages from my spirit people. I see them. I activate on them. I'm more confident about them. And so this is the invitation from Anita. You know, you don't have to go through everything she did, but it's an invitation from all the people who have NDEs in this way, the near-death experiences.
Yeah, and I think, I totally agree, Bren. And I think what's so interesting is that if you look at the message that they're trying to give us, so like with Danny, it was about living a good life, right? Because he was kind of an a-hole, and then he turned into not to be an a-hole. I mean, that was his big transformation. Right. Anita's transformation is
And his book is Saved by the Light.
Saved by the Light.
And right, which we did a little while back.
Yes, we did. And then with Anita, her message is very different than what Danny's is. And her message, and I'll tell you, it was really fascinating when I was a guest on her YouTube show, because her husband Danny has this whole kind of studio set up downstairs, and you can see all the people that are tuning in, all the people that are asking questions, like on, you know, on Facebook and on YouTube or wherever the hell the thing was running. And I'm telling you, is eyeballing it 95% women, if not higher.
Oh, yeah.
Because
oh,
I think she really speaks to women because, you know, her story is, and I'd mentioned it before, but growing up a minority, being an Indian in a British school system, she lived in a modern city, but in a traditional home.
Very traditional.
And, you know, when we sat down for dinner one night, she talked about how, you know, she grew up in a household that was teaching her to be a wife. Like, that's what mm-hmm. she was taught to be. Her father didn't want her going to school. I mean, it was like, you're going to be a good wife. You're going to learn, you know, how to keep a good house, how to cook. It's probably why she's such a great cook. Seriously. Like, it's all scratch. Like, we have Indian stuff, but it's in a jar. Like, hers is like real full. It's amazing. Most amazing food we've ever had. But they were teaching her how to be a wife. And that is not what she wanted in her life. But she never spoke. She never stood up for herself. She never actually went and did what she wanted to do. And so when she says dying to be me, she literally is like, I had to die in order to come back to live my true self. So she is such an inspiration to women because this is, I believe, what so many women struggle with because we do live in a man's world. And I don't think Anita in many ways is any different than a lot of us. You know, right. Not me, but other people. That's a joke. And not. I was not exactly raised to be somebody's wife or how to cook or doing this kind of things because I still don't know how to do any of them really, except I've learned how to cook now at 51. But I think what's so inspiring about it, and I think what her superpower is post-NDE is the encouragement, is the confidence to A, live the life how she wants to live it, but also giving permission to all these women who need it.
Right, to be that role model for developing the authenticity. And we've all been raised to accommodate other people's expectations, whatever tribe we grew up in, whatever, whether it was community-based culture, religious culture, smarty pants culture, whatever it was. whether like my father was a doctor, I had to be a doctor. You know, whatever those expectations were, there's nothing wrong with growing up to be a wonderful wife. Like, that's not a problem. But when it's not who you are and you weren't brought up to be your true authentic self, right? You have to even back out of that and go, wait, if I did want to be something, what would that be? Like, even backing up to give yourself permission, almost like in a recovery mode, like, wait, I'm so used to doing, right? If I remember my essence, my true spiritual inspiration, like literally, right? That's what the word means, inspiration with spirit. So if I connect in with my own spirit, what's there? Like, what's there? What wants to be expressed? What wants to be expanded on? What's my inspiration
right.
with my own spirit, right? And that takes such bravery.
Oh, it does. And if you just take the two elements of her story of not saying anything, going along, right? Like in this traditional home, being, you know, groomed to be a wife. And by the way, there's not anything wrong with it. It's just not what she wanted, right?
Right.
So that's why
right.
I said it that way.
That's it's like the there problem. Is, that's where no, the problem came in.
Right. Yeah. It's, please, anybody, do not be offended by that. I did not mean it in that way, if that's how it came off. But that's not what she wanted in her. So for one part of her is she wasn't fighting for herself, right?
Right.
Didn't know how. And I could see it being hard. So all of it is reasonable, right? But the second part of it is, of her story, is being so wrapped up in the fear of cancer, right? So everything is about fear. It's like fear to be who she is, fear to go pursue what she wants to pursue, not wanting to confront her parents about not wanting to be what they want her to be. And then here she is consumed in fear of dying of cancer, which is exactly
literally consumed by cancer,
and it consumed her.
Yeah.
And when she comes back, and I can tell you, I don't think that woman has had a sick day in her life since.
And we're going to talk more about keeping your vibe high when we come back. All right, welcome back. And we're talking about Dying to Be Me by Anita Mordaunt.
That's seriously, like, that is a pretty big toll to be yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
It's so funny because you wouldn't think it would be, right? You're like, isn't it just normal to be who you are? But when you begin to peel off layers, you're like, wait, I remember this. I used to love doing this, or I used to want to do this, or I did this naturally until some teacher, some parents said I wasn't good at it. And then you're like, I never did it again. Like, I hear so many artists and stories where people are like, oh, yeah, I didn't pick up a pencil to draw or a paintbrush to paint something for 3 decades because a teacher told me I wasn't good.
Isn't that crazy? I know.
It's crazy what people do.
I know. I think what is, you know, I think...
Suki agrees.
Suki loves Anita. This, like, she's had to talk throughout this whole episode. I think what is really some of the interesting things that Anita talks about with her fans, she talks to them about, you know, what if actually this is heaven? You know, she kind of went to this place of, well, you can actually treat your life as if it's wonderful and as if you are in heaven. Like, you don't need to hurry out of it. You don't have to, you know, find ways to punish yourself. You don't have to look for those things. It's like, why can't you live that way now? And I think that is a really incredible a message that she has been giving to people.
It's such a beautiful message and so empowering and one of my favorite ones. I mean, I even remember when I broke an engagement, moved out of the house, bought this little house, was in a job I was underemployed, let's just say that. I was in this silly corporate job that didn't have any meaning. And my idea to pull myself out of it was to double down on my gratitude practice. And so that's where I would write down the things I was grateful for every day. Every day. And then, trust me, it was a tough list.
Right.
Right. Because I was, you know, heartbroken and recovering and, you know, that was during my time in finance. That was not a lot of great
time. Not for you, no.
Yeah, I was running spreadsheets. But my point is, you have to build that muscle. So I started with writing 3 things I was grateful for every day because that's all I could hold. And I had to build the muscle up to, you know, a couple of months in, then I could write 10 things I was grateful for every day. But it was, you know, it is a dial, not a switch. I couldn't just say, I'm going to be happy and tell myself my life is good right now. I literally had to wrap my brain slowly around. Everything's as it is. There's beauty happening in every moment. And remember it because it just, you know, our school is hard. And so.
And I think that's what Anita talks a lot about is being able, because if you want to live your best life, you have to see your best life. Right. And I think that's what she talks so much about. And she also talks a lot about trusting yourself. She talks about that. I mean, obviously, we talk about that, too. Mm-hmm. And it is so much about like that instinct. Right. That gut feeling, right. That whatever it may
those
be,
little
if the wind
whispers.
Blows those. Yeah, there's a little whisper. You're like, yeah. And she talks a lot about those, because unlike Danny or unlike Mona, who came back with one of the Claires. Right. Like right. She came back with like a claircognizant. Mm hmm. Gift.
And we talked about that in the Saved by the Light episode.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yep. The 411 on NDEs.
That's good.
That we did talk about that. And that some of these actually don't come back with these Claire superpowers, right?
Right.
But the superpowers that they come back with is like, you will never convince Anita that what she is saying in the life she's leading is unworthy. She came back.
She has no noise about that.
No noise whatsoever.
Can you
none
imagine
at all.
Living one full day without having any doubts, without second guessing?
Yeah, how great, right?
Without not knowing your full beauty, value, and worthiness. One day, just imagine of not qualifying anything and everything you did. Like, it's extraordinary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, living your best life, living with your heart first, and always like, and the other thing, and you've talked about this so much in the past about women specifically, we put ourselves last on the list, mm-hmm. right? Everything else comes before us, whether it's a mate, children, job, other family
parents,
members,
yeah.
parents,
yeah.
right? All of that, like we put ourselves
community,
last on,
yep.
right, last on the list. Anita does not put herself last on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to learn that from this experience. But I think it is so, you know, when I read it, it was very life-changing for me mm-hmm. in a lot of aspects. And meeting her was life-changing for me as well. Calling her a friend also was life-changing as well. And I think there's so many incredible lessons for people that, you know, if you haven't read it, if you haven't read it, that's really good. See, this Oklahoma just came spewing out.
It's
like,
all good.
Just like dragon breath
no
just
apologies.
Happened.
No apologies. No apologies. It's all perfect.
Encourage people to read it. You know, read this book. It will change you in one way or the other, and honor her. for being brave to tell the story, because she had a lot of blocks, right? She had the medical community saying bullshit, you know, and then she was lucky Wayne Dyer found her and changed everything. And she sold millions of books worldwide, that first one.
That's so beautiful. Yeah. It's an amazing story. And remember, we share these stories because we want you to feel empowered to claim this here, today, now. Claim your guidance. Claim your wisdom.
Claim yourself.
With confidence.
Today is claim yourself.
You have a body.
That is Anita's story.
Right?
Claim it.
You are in it. You don't need to qualify it for anybody. You really don't. Just claim it. So great.
Yeah, and watch her show. She's fantastic. Mm. And claim your shit, man.
Yeah. Because remember, our school is hard.
Without the other side. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks
claim
for
your
listening.
Shit. We love you guys.
Nice. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And a special thanks to our producer, Maya Cole, who guides us while we guide you.
Hit us up on Instagram at Other Side Guides. Or shoot us a note at othersideguides@iheartradio.com. And you can even call us at 833-22-GUIDE to leave us a message.
We want to know what you think. We want to know what you know. And we want to hear your stories.
And remember,
Earth School is hard
without the other side. Insider's Guide to the Other Side is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.